Good morning, everyone. I thank you for being with us today. We're going to start a new series, but before we do, I especially want to say thank you to all of you who have been viewing us in this previous series on Give Me My Mountain, talking about Caleb and a host of other things that allow us to speak to the mountain and see it removed. It was one of the highest viewerships we've had over a consistent period of time, and so thank you so much for taking your time and really making investment, not in me, but in your spiritual well-being. And I trust that you enjoyed it and were blessed as much by it as I was in studying, preparing for several months and leading up to that session. And I personally believe we're going to pick right up where we left off as we begin talking today in a new series about abounding in favor. Today, we're going to look specifically at the favor of God and begin to just talk about it. But I believe this is something that we can believe for, increase our faith for, and we will see it produce results above and beyond what we've imagined. So I'm excited about it, and let's start today by just thanking the Father for His Word. Father, we do give thanks to You for Your Word. We thank You that You sent Your Word. And even as we celebrated this past Resurrection Sunday, we're just reminded today of the great favor that You have poured out upon us, Your people. So we praise You for it, and we ask for revelation knowledge so that we may walk in a more full manner to receive all that You have for us. We just begin to declare right now, we are a people of favor. We do have the favor of God upon us. And Father, I ask that that concept just be built up in each of us so that we see increase, and of the end of that increase, no end, because that's the way Jesus's kingdom, You've designed it to work. We give You praise and honor and glory, Jesus, and we love You and thank You so much. Amen. Now, as we begin this series, I don't want you just begin thinking about financial things as we talk about favor, because it is much broader than that. And I also believe it's so important. The world in such turmoil, I mean, you listen to the news, and it just seems like that all that they talk about is the bad things that could happen. But I believe the Lord is giving us this series right now so that when these things do happen, and we know because Scripture tells us things are going to get worse, but when they do, we are going to see our light shine so much brighter as His favor pours down upon us. So I want to begin and anchor this series really with three verses. So go with me to Psalm, the 5th chapter, and we're going to read several verses leading up to verse 12. Psalms, the 5th chapter, leading up to verse 12. I want to start with verse 8. It reads, O Lord, lead me in Thy righteousness because of my foes. Make Thy way straight before Thee. Now, I want to do that for a couple of reasons, because I just want you to get this concept of righteousness built up in you again today, that you are the righteous, because you're going to see how favor follows us as the righteous. I also want you to see that it builds really on what we talked about last series, where it says, make Thy way straight before me. If there's something in the way, what do? We speak to it. But you're going to see even this is the favor of the Lord upon us. Now go down to verse 11. Verse 11 reads, but let all who take refuge, or we might say who trust in You, be glad. So we see a rejoicing along with trusting, along with being protected in refuge. And I don't read this verse without thinking about Psalm 91. Let them ever sing for joy. What do we know? We're supposed to be joyful always. And again, He tells us to rejoice. And mayest Thou shelter them, those who love Thy name, that those who love Thy name may exult in Thee. Now, love Thy name to me means not just love a name, but love the name and all it represents, all it entails toward us. So that sets the stage then for verse 12. For, And that's what I'm saying, why I'm saying it sets the stage. What we just read of what, and let's just remind ourselves, trusting or taking refuge, rejoicing, singing for joy, having shelter, and loving the name of the Lord. For those things, it is thou who dost bless the righteous man, O Lord. And then here's the phrase that we want to build on. Thou dost surround him with favor as a shield. So let me just say that one more time. Thou, you Lord, do surround me. And that's what you need to begin to say as you read this verse. With favor as a shield. And just note back now that it's in the first part of verse 12 that it talks about the righteous man. That's why I wanted to read 8 to build on that principle. So we need to begin to think the righteous are not only blessed of the Lord, they are favored of the Lord. Now in this series, I'm going to probably be reading a lot of different translations to you. So I'm including them in your notes because as you meditate them, I want you to begin to pick up the principles that they talk about. We're going to start first with God's word on this one. It says, you bless righteous people, O Lord. Like a large shield, you surround them with your favor. Now, I picked this one because the word that is used for shield there means exactly what it says here, a large shield. I don't want you to think of one of those little bitty round shields that were the more showy ones. This is something big that is surrounding, and we're about to see, covering us. And so with his favor, and we'll talk when we at the end here of this verse about what that favor really entails so that you begin to see it. In fact, these verses are going to kind of disclose that to you. The Amplified version, contemporary Amplified, the classic Amplified reads, for you, Lord, will bless the uncompromisingly righteous, him who is upright and in right standing with you. Now, let's just stop. In the Old Testament, when the Psalms were written, this is something they had to do through what? Through works, through their offerings. But for you and I, what we just celebrated Sunday, that resurrection act, following his death and taking our sins, we were raised with him, what? In righteousness. So we are the righteous. And then it says, as with a shield, you will surround him with, and there's some different words used here, goodwill, pleasure, and favor. So I want you to note and underline even goodwill and pleasure. Take note of that because these are descriptors, I believe, of favor. And you're going to see they're almost synonymous in many scriptures and we can interchange it. The English Standard Version says, for you bless the righteous, O Lord. And then we get a different term here. You cover them. You cover them with favor with a shield. So not only are we getting this concept of we're surrounded, but we're also covered. Oh, what protection we have from the Lord. And now let's look for some more insight into the Passion Translation. Lord, how wonderfully you bless the righteous. Your favor wraps around each one and covers them under your canopy of kindness and joy. So here we've got goodwill, pleasure, kindness, and joy being part of that, what the Passion Translation describes as a canopy. So I want you to see, this is something that is over us, protects us, and also surrounds us to protect us as well. This is such an important thing to understand because you were made righteous, you're now placed in this position. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to draw upon it, and we'll get to that in a couple of weeks. But I want you to begin to see this is available for all who believe, for all who have been made righteous. New Living says, for you bless the godly, O Lord, another way of saying righteous. You surround them with your shield of love. So what do we see? This all emanates from love, something we should have expected. No surprise here. So the attributes of favor here, love, goodwill, pleasure, kindness, and joy. So when we see those words now, we ought to begin to think that these are elements involved in his favor. Now, favor in the Hebrew is the word pronounced roston, and it literally means to delight. It is translated, and this is important, but you've seen this already, accepted, acceptable, desire, delight, favor, and pleasure. And all of this flowing, as we said, from his love. So I want to ask you a question about the children of Israel. This initial favor that they had, did they earn it? No, they did not. He said, I didn't do this because you were great in numbers. He sure didn't do it because they were the most obedient. Now, yes, they had to practice righteousness and through their works, through their offerings, be looked at and viewed as the atonement covered for them every time. Righteous. But it was given to them. Does that sound like something that we have in the new covenant? Does it sound like grace, something we don't earn? And go ahead and say it once now. Well, how do we sometimes define grace? In fact, probably the most frequently, undeserved, unmerited favor. Now go with me to Proverbs 3. And we're going to read through quickly the first 10 verses, but I really want to focus on verse 4. So it says, my son, do not forget my teaching. So it's talking about the words here, the word of the Lord. But let your heart keep my commandment for length of days and years of life, and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of the God and man. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Hallelujah. And he will make your path straight. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now let's go back to verse 4. Here in verses 1 through 3, we get some instructions of things we ought to do. Verses 5 through 10, we get some more instructions of things we ought to do. And all of these elements of what we ought to do and the benefits that we get from them are wrapped around verse 4. We do these, why? What does verse 4 say? So we will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, favor you should expect not only from the Lord, but also from man. Now, this isn't my opinion. This is what it says. Now, certainly, we believe that God can use man, and God will cause man to look favorably upon you. But I think your godly representation will also endear favor from people. Look at the easy to read. It says, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of both God and men. And then the passion. That's how you'll find favor and understanding. May I say for understanding that understanding gives wisdom so that you can act. So we're going to find favor on how to act. And that's going to be given to us. And that favor is going to be played upon us. Placed upon us and bestowed upon us by both God and by man, obviously through the Lord. And then it says this at the end of that verse, and this is important. You will gain the reputation of living life well. Now, next week's study, we're going to get into this a little more, and it is really exciting to me. So let's remember that one if you want to underline it. The third and final verse that we're going to base our study on is in Psalm 41, verse 11. And I'm just going to read from the Amplified Bible. It says, by this I know that you favor and delight in me. Now, that ought to excite us ourselves. I mean, just in and of itself. But look at what he says. I know that you will favor and delight in me because my enemy does not triumph over me. May I just say this? Even in death, when we lay down this physical body, the enemy cannot triumph over you and I. Now, other translations use some words other than favors you may expect. Please, delight, goodwill, all elements of what we saw earlier. But I want to focus on that last one, that last phrase. Because my enemy does not triumph over me. Is it supposed to describe you and I today? Well, I think so. What does the New Testament call us? It says we're overcomers. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb in Revelation. We've been called more than conquerors. Scripture tells us that we always triumph in Christ Jesus. And I don't want you to think now in this, in just because we have favor, that you're never going to have trials and temptations come to you. You will. But this favor is going to help us through those. And we'll see that in some examples in the Bible in a couple of weeks. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 9 through 10. Of you and I, talking of Paul, but this also applies to you and I, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, maybe even knocked down, but what? Not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Now, what that's talking about is where he took all that for us, so that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And I also want to tell you, the life of Jesus was exemplified by great, great favor upon him. So, in essence, you've got the man of favor dwelling on the inside of us. That resurrected life that we celebrated. That when Jesus rose, you also rose up from the dead. Full of everything that Jesus had, including this great favor. So let's stop and pause and go back and look at two biblical examples of favor. And I want to start with, and we'll spend the most time here, with Joseph in Genesis 37. Now, I'm going to talk about chapter 37, verses 5 through 11, because in these verses, beginning in 5, you know that Joseph was a favorite of his father. He was given the coat of many colors, and his brothers didn't like that. But it is important to me, as I went back and studied this, that the favor that Joseph had upon him began by him hearing and believing a word of the Lord that came to him through what? Two dreams. So in verse 5, it just says, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's sometimes wisdom in not sharing everything the Lord tells you. Much we need to keep to ourselves. Verse 6, and he said, listen to this dream. Verse 7, for behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and stood erect. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed to my feet. And the brothers then said in verse 8, you got to be kidding. You think you are going to rule over us? We're the elders. In verse 9, he had another dream and he related it to his brothers. Still running his mouth a bit more probably than he should. But what does this say? He was willing to speak it because he truly believed it was a word from the Lord to him. Lo, I've had another dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. And of course, he was the 12th son. And as he related it to his father and his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what's this dream? You think we're going to bow down ourselves to the ground before you? But I want you to look at verse 11. The brothers were jealous, but the father kept the saying in his mind. In other words, there was something in that, as the father considered it, that really stood out to him. But what did he do? He let this get deep inside him, just like Caleb did. And you're going to see that this word from the Lord, this dream that was spoken to him, I believe it fueled his faith and sustained him, much similar to what we saw with Caleb. Now look down at the 39th verse, 39th chapter, and the first 6 verses. You know what all happened to Joseph. They were going to kill him. They told his father he'd gotten killed, but yet they sold him. He ended up, verse 1 of this chapter says, in Egypt, in Potiphar's house, who's an Egyptian officer, head of the bodyguard. And look at verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and, or so, he became a successful man. Does that sound like favor was upon him? Oh, does it ever? And he was in the house of the master, the Egyptian, and his master saw. What did the master see? That the Lord was with him. Might I say this? The master saw that the favor of the Lord was upon him. But I want you to begin to see these things go hand in hand, and we can't go further without me stopping and saying, the Lord is with you. In fact, he dwells inside you in a way totally different from what any old covenant man could say. That's why scripture tells us that the least in the kingdom of God today was greater than the best prophet in the Old Testament. So his master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper. So Joseph found favor in the master's sight. So here he is. Not only does he have the favor of the Lord upon him, but his master is showing him favor. And he made him overseer of the whole house. It goes on to say in the end of verse 9, thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he, Potiphar, owned in the house and in the field. And everything that he owned was in Joseph's charge. So I want you to begin to see, Joseph didn't get beat down. He kept this vision of what the Lord had told him to him, and the Lord was with him. I believe there's a reason the Lord was with him, because he kept that profession going. This is what's going to happen to me. I don't care what's happening now. There's something good coming to me. I'm a blessed man. God is favoring me. In fact, I can see him saying and thinking, God is favoring me over my brothers. Why? And that's an important concept that we're going to see a favor here in a moment. So I think that this act of favor that the Lord gave him provided opportunities in his role as overseer for Potiphar's house after opportunity after opportunity. And what happened? The blessing of the Lord came to pass upon him. That's an important concept. So in verses 7 through 19, you know the story. You know the account. Potiphar's wife lusted after him, accused him. Potiphar ended up throwing him in the jail. And go pick up in verse 20. So master took him and put him in the jail where he was confined. King's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the jail. Verse 21. Here we go again. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him. Who extended kindness to Joseph? Who bestowed favor upon him? The Lord did. And he also gave him favor in what? In the sight of the chief jailer, such that the chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners, and he was responsible for it. The chief jailer didn't supervise anything under Joseph because, verse 23 says, the Lord was with him, the favor of God was seen on him, and in whatever he did, he was made to prosper. Now, we're going to talk in a minute about a blessing, but what is the blessing? It's really an empowerment to prosper. But in every time that Joseph prospered and something happened, you see that he began to get something else that he could build on. And then where did he end up in Genesis 41? And now see the blessing and the favor at work in him. And starting in verse 37. So he interpreted a dream for Pharaoh, and what he said seemed right. And Pharaoh says, can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit? Now, what is that saying? Even Pharaoh saw that there was something different about Joseph because there was a divine spirit. The very spirit of God was upon him. And so he said, since God's given you all this, there's no one discerning and wise, you shall be over my house. And according to your command, my people shall do homage. Only in the throne will I be greater. See, I've set you over all the land of Egypt. And then in verse 42, he gave him a signet ring and gave him garments of fine linen and a gold necklace and made him second in the chariot. And they proclaimed before him, bow the knee. And that's an important one. Now just make note of that. And he set him over all the land of Egypt. So here's Joseph. Every time something happens, something good happens. He's given another, can I say it, opportunity. And I hope you're beginning to see that as favor. Look back in chapter 12 of Genesis, in the book of beginnings, where we are. And we're going to read just the first three verses, talking about Abraham. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and so shall you be a blessing. And then he goes on in verse 3, and I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And in all the families of the earth, you shall be blessed. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. But I want to read verse 2 to you, because now we see this as the blessing of Abraham. And certainly the Lord is talking about kindness and goodwill, all those things that we talked about were the attributes of favor too. And listen how the Amplified does this. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you with abundant increases of favor, and make your name famous and distinguished, and you'll be a blessing, dispensing good to others. Now, we can take a lesson from that. If we receive freely, we should do what? What did Jesus tell the disciples? You've received freely, so freely give. So we too ought to show favor. And I'll say the favor of God toward others. But I want you to see this increase in favor. So here we've got the blessing of the Lord and favor. How do they relate to each other? Well, let me just start by saying, I don't think you can separate them. Let me define favor, and then we'll make a couple of comments. We already talked about what favor meant, but I want to give you some other definitions of it. In fact, let me just go ahead and say, I believe that the blessing of the Lord, or being blessed of the Lord, is an empowerment to prosper in whatever area. And so you are empowered to prosper, and thus you're being successful. So how does it relate to favor? Well, the blessing is empowerment to prosper and do well. But I believe that the favor of God is what produces the opportunities for us. In other words, to put us in a position for those blessings to come to bear and to bring fruit in our lives. Think about Joseph. How many opportunities did he get? How many doors did the Father open him by showing favor for him to just proceed right up to the number two man in all of Egypt? So we can see this. Now, I'll also say, did he overcome? Was he an overcomer as we're told we should be? Yes, he did. Every time he got knocked down, he got more favor. And this was, I want you to remember now, before the law. And so this is still, he's operating under the grace or the blessing that was on Abraham. So it was before the law dispensation. It was really a dispensation of grace. And that's just how we find ourselves. Webster, and listen to the words it uses for defining favor. Friendly regard shown toward another, especially by a superior. Now, it just rises up in me. Quit saying my boss doesn't ever do anything good for me. Or my boss doesn't like me. It don't matter if he likes you. It's a favor of God is upon you. Number two, it says approving consideration or attention. Number three, partiality. So there's showing partiality. Now, the Lord's not partial, or he's not preferring one versus another, but when you're in a position and you need his favor, he's going to provide it. It also means gracious kindness. So there's that word gracious that we use for grace. But basically what it means is he's providing you opportunities for the blessing to manifest. Let me give you four examples of the way I think favor manifests. Number one, through grants. Now, what's a grant? Well, today we think of it as something's made available for people and you apply or you request it. You fill out paperwork normally in today's world. So I believe grants are one. So favor is granted to us. The Amplified Bible, Psalm 37. verses 3 and 4. Trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident in the Lord and do good, so you shall dwell in the land and feed surely on His faithfulness, and truly you shall be fed. Look at verse 4. Delight yourselves in the Lord, and He will give you the desires and the secret petitions or requests of your heart. Now, I know you can interpret this two ways, because I personally believe He puts those desires in you, but then He does what? He favors you by putting you in a position where they can come to fruition. The second one is what we talk about with grace all the time. It's just a gift, one that's given from a relationship where you're empowered or given favor. Psalm 84, again, amplified. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows grace and favor. And it says, present grace and favor for the future and future glory, honor, splendor, and heavenly bliss. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk. And here's our walking righteously, uprighteous. He'll give you preferential treatment. And you're going to even see He's going to do that even to the point of changing laws for the righteous. The Passion Translation in Proverbs 2, 3, and 4 is just what we read earlier. That's how you will find favor and understanding with both God and man. He's going to preferentially treat you, and you will gain the reputation of living life well. And the fourth one is just He gives you an advantage. He's not being just toward one and unjust toward the other, but He's placing you in a position where you just have an advantage. Shoot, we got the wisdom of God. How much advantage is that over all the world in us? Psalm 44, verse 3, in the Amplified again. For they got not the land of Canaan, talking about the children of Israel, in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. So it wasn't because they were strong. It wasn't because they had the biggest army. They didn't have an advantage. But your right hand and your arm and the light of your countenance, that's going to be important with what we're going to cover next week. The light of your countenance did it. Because why? So they got blessed because you were favorable toward and did delight in them. So do you see these four ways that favor can come upon us? It can come upon us through giving us an advantage, preferential treatment, a gift, or being granted when we request it. Let me close today with this verse. And this verse is an encouragement to me for the times we live in. Psalm 102, verse 9 through 13. I'm going to read from the King James. For I have eaten ashes like bread. Now, you're going to find some things that kind of represent us B.C., before Christ. And this is the way the children of Israel, I'm sure, felt when they were disobedient. So I've eaten ashes and mingled my drink with weeping. Because of your indignation and wrath, because of judgment, hadn't been placed on Jesus yet, came to them, you've lifted me up and cast me away. The Lord separated Himself as with when He took the tabernacle out of the midst of them in Exodus 33. In fact, we'll be there soon too. My days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither like the grass. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. And then verse 13, you will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. Now, when we talk about Zion, I said it's a type of us. It's literally talking about Jerusalem and her wall. It's where the king ruled. And today, from a prophetic standpoint, I think it talks about the kingdom of God, which is where? In us. So there's no doubt in my mind, this is talking about us. And look what it says. For the time to favor her, us, the bride of Christ, His beloved. Yes, that set time has come. So as we close today, I just want you to say with me, it is our time of favor. Let's say this a couple of more times to begin to get it in our heart and keep meditating it in the coming week till we meet again. It is our time for favor. In fact, let's make it personal. It is my time for favor. It is my time for favor. And with that, we'll conclude. And you don't want to miss next week. It's better and better. Exceedingly above what you can think about. You have an abundance of favor coming your way.